content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, September 25th through Sunday, October 1st, 2023. The commentary for September was written by Jody Belcher, a writer and educator passionate about justice making and faith formation. She holds a Doctor of Theology degree from Duke Divinity School and has taught in various settings. She blogs at writingfaithstudio.com and lives in Durham, North Carolina, with her family of five. The commentary for Monday, September 25th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 22. "But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire." Here's the commentary for today. "From a young age, I thought that anger was sinful. When I heard Jesus' teaching in this verse, I was convinced that he was telling the crowds, and by extension all who follow him, that feeling angry would merit divine condemnation. So I tried to train myself to avoid that emotion completely. But I don't think that suppressing emotions is the point of these verses from Matthew. I hear a concern not with angry feelings as the problem, but with unrepaired relationships and unaddressed injustices. Jesus' call to make amends with others can actually show the importance of paying attention to anger, my own or another's, and addressing the harm done rather than dwelling in fragmentation or injustice. Behind his words, I hear a hope for a community that tends to relationships and responds promptly to treat the wounds that anger sirens, so that no one is left stuck in pain." And now I'm going to read the entire passage from today's gospel message from Matthew, chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." And the moving forward question for this day is, do you avoid difficult situations? What do these words from Matthew say to you about conflict and anger? The commentary for Tuesday, September 26th, begins with a passage from Psalm 78, verses 2 and 3. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will declare the mysteries of ancient times, that which we have heard and known, and what our forefathers have told us, we will not hide from their children." Reckoning with the past is not easy. It's tempting to stifle stories of the bad by shrouding them in silence or varnishing them in half-truths. It's tempting to cast condemnation on wrongs done in order to distance now from then, us from them. It can be tempting to take the opposite extreme of pronouncing it all evil and discounting the good. What I find powerful about Psalm 78 is the psalmist's commitment to try to remember and to teach Israel's history to the generations to come. The psalmist does not hold back from naming their ancestors' failures, yet the purpose of rehearsing past mistakes is not to teach their children either that they are doomed to fail, too, or that they may bear no similarity to those who came before them. For the psalmist, these teachings can enable present and future generations to make different choices and avoid the same pitfalls as their predecessors. By remembering all that their ancestors have passed down, they can also remember God's deeds across the generations. And now I'm going to read from more of Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And that they should not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. And the moving forward statement for this day is, invite an elder of yours to share their stories. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, September 27th. It begins with a passage from Matthew 5, verse 48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus' instruction in this verse are sticky words for someone with perfectionist tendencies like me. I hear, be perfect, and am tempted to try with all my might to accomplish what I know to be impossible. Of course, human beings cannot be perfect like God. Plenty of scriptures make plain how imperfect we humans are. Jesus' point is not that people should be flawless or always get everything right. If Jesus isn't setting people up for failure by expecting perfection, then what is he saying? Jesus' teaching in verses 43 through 48 revolves around making practices of love complete. The word translated as perfect means complete or finished, and complete love in Jesus' depiction goes toward enemies as well as to those who love you back. Just as the divine parent does not withhold sun and rain from the evil and unrighteous, verse 45, so people are not to leave love unfinished by excluding enemies. Our love does not have to be perfect or turn all enemies into friends. It just needs to be given a chance to do what love can do among all people. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Matthew chapter 5. I'll be reading verses 38 through 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is there someone you have trouble loving? Add that person to your prayer list, asking for strength and courage to love. The commentary for Thursday, September 28th, begins with a passage from Matthew 6, verse 1. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. The metaphor of being seen doesn't resonate with me like it does with some people. When I encounter that phrase, my mind leaps toward American culture's fixations on visual spectacles and superficial appearances that don't get to the heart of people and who people are. I envision Big Brother surveillance and objectification of bodies rather than meaningful experiences of feeling noticed, understood, and belonging. What fascinates me about Jesus' teaching is its play with these dimensions of social seeing. The two Greek words used in Matthew to refer to being seen are associated with theater and shining light. Words concerned with performance, appearance, and other people's estimation. The word for the divine parent seeing, however, connotes looking at or seeing that can involve turning toward or taking care of. I hear a call for us to recognize a profound truth. The God who made us is paying attention. No show is needed for God to show up. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and also verses 16 through 18. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you that they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And the moving forward question for this day, do you feel seen by God, by others? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, September 29th. It's the feast day of Saint Michael and All Angels. It begins with a passage from the book of Genesis from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, chapter 28, verse 15. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. What a promise to receive from God. Three times in the same sentence, God tells Jacob that God is here to stay in Jacob's life. I am with you. I will keep you. I will not leave you. Two verses earlier, we encounter Jacob's vision of the Lord standing beside him. God's presence in Jacob's dream seems intimate to me. The scene reminds me of a quote from Meister Eckhart in his sermon, The Nearness of the Kingdom. God is nearer to me than I am to myself. The God who has entered Jacob's dream has already been with Jacob, nearer than Jacob may have realized, and wants to stay by his side. God displays a love for Jacob that rings with unfailing devotion and intimate openness. God is great, powerful, and glorious, but sometimes I need to meet God as Jacob met God, a God nearer to me than I am to myself, a God who will tell me three times to make sure I get it. I am with you. And now I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 17. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and laid down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And the moving forward suggestion for this day is, as you go about your day, remember that God is standing with you. The commentary for Saturday, September 20th, begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20a. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Here's the commentary for today. What does Jesus' teaching mean for people struggling to meet their basic needs? In my contemporary North American context, these verses conjure an image of true faithfulness as focused on spiritual matters and ignoring material issues. When this ideal for faithful life intersects with capitalism's economic inequities, it can produce a shaming message toward those who struggle to make ends meet. When I approach these verses as teachings for a crowd of mostly impoverished people, however, I see a different path through Jesus' metaphors. The words for both store up and treasures can etymologically suggest future-oriented putting or placing, and heaven in Matthew often symbolizes the political order of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus invites people to reclaim and put their future in God's kingdom. I find no ignoring or shaming in these words, for in God's kingdom, as he says, the meek shall inherit the earth, and those longing for justice will be filled. And now I'm going to read from the full Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, September 30th, is, have you ever felt shame after hearing this verse? What do you think Jesus is really saying? And we've reached the end of our week for Day by Day Reflections, the commentary for Sunday, the 1st of October, which, by the way, is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, is from Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The road of life is not always easy, and during a challenging patch of life, you might find yourself wondering, where is God in this? Why is God letting this happen? I completed my elementary school teaching credential in 2008 during a significant American economic downturn. I struggled to get hired for jobs. I made ends meet by substituting teaching. I would apply for full-time employment and get rejected. It was easy to get disheartened, and I often wondered why God wasn't acting in the way I thought I needed or wanted when I felt this calling to be a teacher. It can be frustrating that you don't get an answer from God right away in your prayers, or it might not be the answer you were hoping for or wanted. But it is important to have faith and remember that all things happen in God's time, not ours. God is always at work in the world, ensuring God's will be done. And now I'm going to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, October 1st, are you in the midst of a challenging situation and find yourself wondering where God is? Remember, God is with you always. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.